Portland Trail Blazers are sitting at 46.5 wins.
Yeah, this is the one team I really have no idea which direction they're going in. But we'll go over the transactions first. So the Trailblazers added Hassan Whiteside in a trade with multiple teams. They obviously traded for Kent Bazemore, signed Super Mario Hezonja, added Anthony Tolliver, and also signed Pau Gasol. And they drafted Nasir Little with the number 25 pick. And they lost a lot of players, a lot of their role players. Al-Farouq Aminu went to the Magic, Enes Kanter, Seth Curry, Evan Turner, Maurice Harkless, Jake Lehman, and Myers Leonard. And they re-signed Rodney Hood on a team-friendly deal.
They signed Pau Gasol?
They did. It was one of the later transactions in July.
What the hell? Weird. Why?
It's an interesting pickup.
Yeah, that's really random.
I guess more center depth, especially with Nurkic going to be out for at least a good third of the season, half a season.
Yeah, you got Zach Collins and Hassan Whiteside, though.
I guess just in case you play, you know, a player like Embiid, the bigger centers, Pau might play 10, 15 minutes a game.
Yeah. And he's still a pretty good offensive player. You're right. This team is pretty all over the place. Very confusing.
Question for you guys. Is this team better than the team last year, like on paper?
I'm going to say no. In the season or the playoffs?
Is it a better team on paper?
I mean, probably not.
I'm going no because Nurkic is injured.
I think, too, with losing their depth at the wing and a power four, like Aminu was a big part of this team, I think, especially on the defensive end. Him and Nurkic together were a really good defensive duo. And
yeah, they made up for McCollum and Lillard a lot.
Yeah, now you're in a conference that has, you know, a ton of small forwards or power forwards that you need these types of defenders to be able to guard. And now you have guys like Rodney Hood and, you know, Zach Collins, who's a good defender, but he's not very bulky. So, I don't know. They don't really have a lot of depth in terms of guarding these, like, star players on the wing.
They have Kent Bazemore at $19 million. How the hell is Kent Bazemore making $19
million? I don't know.
Okay, what's worse? Kent Bazemore at 19 or Harrison Barnes at 20.5?
Harrison Barnes.
Get out of here.
By far.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to be thinking about that until next podcast.
I mean, if you're talking about, like, Harrison Barnes having a long-term deal versus
no. I'm talking 1 year
expiring contract.
No, I don't care about that. I'm just talking this year.
Yeah, fuck Harrison Barnes. Still Bazemore.
Okay, cool. You're crazy. This team is kind of wonky, man. I don't believe in this team anymore now that Nurkic is hurt, and they lost a lot of defensive depth, as you said. Like, I don't want to rely on Rodney Hood that much.
Yeah, and I think the thing that they had a big advantage for the last 2 or 3 years was their continuity. Like, they mostly kept their roster intact. But now you're, like, asking a lot more, like, out of Lillard and McCollum just defensively. Like, before they had Harkless, who I thought actually stepped up last year. And I know we mentioned Aminu, but, like, this team, I felt like they just try to get like-for-like replacements for those players. But I think this team's probably worse than last year. And it'll be interesting to see how Hassan Whiteside and how Zach Collins, how they handle the load. Like, they might put up good numbers, but they might be in the situation where, like, good numbers, but not good results for their team.
I mean, their over-under is significantly worse than last year. It's at 46.5. Last year they had 53 wins.
I still think they go over because they're, like, they're a team that plays at home and that has a good advantage at home. Like, they take advantage of their home games and they're hard to beat out there in Portland. So I could see them winning around 49 games. So I'm going to say over, but I don't think they're as good as last year.
Yeah, I'm going over as well. I think Hassan Whiteside is going to have a revival type of year, being able to play with those two guards and being able to clean up after them. And he's going to get a lot of easy looks in the pick and roll, just sort of like Nurkic did last year. He's going to have a big year until Nurkic comes back, and then who knows what's going to happen in his career. But overall, they are a good regular season team. They're always going to be with those two guards in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. And even though they have a lot of wing issues, like, they're going to lose a lot to the better teams in the NBA. But they beat the teams that are worse than them. And they're sort of like the Spurs in that way. And that's why they're such a good regular season team. But come playoff time, they obviously have a lot of holes. So I'm going to go slight over.
I'm also going over because they got rid of Evan Turner. On to the next. your San Antonio Spurs, Josh, sitting at also 46.5.
Seems high. So they added Damari Carroll in a trade with the Nets and the Wizards. They signed Trey Lyles after Marcus Morris decided to renege on his contract. And they drafted Luka Šamanić, Keldon Johnson with the number 29 pick. And I think this guy's worth mentioning because he has a somewhat cool name. Quindary Weatherspoon with a number 49 pick.
I was hoping you would say his name.
And they lost Davis Bertans for nothing because they obviously were trying to sign Marcus Morris at the time. So they traded him to the Wizards, sorry. And they re-signed Rudy Gay.
So they're basically just running back the same team but with healthy guards.
Yeah, essentially.
Which could make a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, these healthy guards still can't shoot very well, but aside from that, they're good.
But the question with the Spurs is the fit. I think they're going to have a lot of the same issues as what I brought up with the Kings, in that I'm not sure all the parts fit, first of all. But in terms of the depth, like, you have, again, 10 to 12 guys that you would think would be playing, like, 12 to 20 minutes a game. So, I don't know. I like their depth overall, but you have too many guys at the end of the bench that you think are going to play.
You have a lot of the same players, too. Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray, and Derek White. Similar types of players. All big guards. Obviously, it's great for defense, but none of them can really shoot. Decent distributors. I mean, it's kind of a weird fit altogether. There's not much spacing on the floor. Like, their main spacing is going to come from Bellinelli and Damari Carroll. Nah.
And
God save
Bellinelli may not even play that much this year if you're going to play Lonnie Walker, right?
Yeah. And Damari Carroll has to play with DeMar DeRozan again, man. I'm out on this team. That's my final straw. Wow. Why are you putting these two back together? They clearly don't like each other. DeMar Carroll crying on his way out of Toronto a couple of years ago about how he couldn't play with DeMar and Kyle Lowry. Come on. I'm out.
And also, like, if you're Pop, what do you do in the starting backcourt? Are you going to start both guards together and have Derek White play with DeJounte Murray? Or are you just going to have one of them come off the bench? And if you do that, then is Patty Mills going to be the third string point guard? Or is he going to play with one of the point guards coming off the bench? And then you have a super small backcourt. There's a lot of questions with this roster.
You got LaMarcus starting. Who is that your four? Damari?
I think Pop is going to go big again and play Poeltl at the five and then LaMarcus at the four.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I could see that. And then play Damar at the three.
And then DeJounte Murray and Derek White.
Oof. I mean, as much as I like those two guys, like, together, I don't think they
work. Not together.
And then you have Poeltl at the five and DeMar at the three. You basically have no shooting, no three-point shooting on the floor.
Yeah, that's their big loss. They would, like, I think overall their team, like, the biggest weakness is they don't have that spacing besides Bellinelli, and they obviously lost Bertans, who was a very efficient three-point shooter for them. Like you mentioned, Josh, like, this is probably the team that has the most players that fit into that 1-2 position, maybe a 3. Like, they have a lot of guards that have a similar style, and they're all relatively young. They're all expecting to play. They're good, but the balance might not be there in the team.
All right, so 46.5 wins. And it's tough. I think they hit 47. So I'll go a slight over.
If you looked at this roster without Pop, you'd be like hard under, but it is
the Spurs. Of course. It is the Spurs. You have to take into account that they could make the playoffs every year for the next, 1,000 years, right?
Yeah. And I know that Pop, once this three-point evolution happened a few years ago, he was, he was very negative about it, and he obviously said that basketball should be played in a way that you just get the best shot possible. And it seems like he keeps going back in time with this roster overall and seeing how much three-point shooting or how little three-point shooting he can have on the floor at one time and still make it work. Because they shot almost historically well, I think, from the mid-range last year. And then if you actually start these two guards with DeRozan to the three and then Poeltl at the center, you basically have no three-point shooting. So you're going back to like the 1970s with this roster. So it'll be interesting if he actually plays that lineup a lot. But I'm going hard under.
Hard under, wow. I'm going over. I think, don't count out the Spurs. They're still a a good team. They have good players, good coaching. I think 46.5 is a bit low for them. I can see them getting 50 wins.
50?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of teams that are going to lose a lot of games, like the Thunder, the Grizzlies.
Yeah, the bottom.
Yeah, so they're going to beat up on those teams.
Damn.
Someone has to win those
games.
Yeah,
you were claiming that the top of the West is going to win 50 games, right?
No, I'm not saying the top. I'm saying there's going to be like 6 or 7 teams that have 50 wins.
Woo! Mm. Okay, well, let's move on to someone who's had 50 for a lot of years now. The Golden State Warriors sitting up 49 wins.
Yeah, obviously the Warriors lost Kevin Durant, and they replaced him with D'Angelo Russell, which is probably the biggest shock of the offseason besides the Kawhi situation. Okay, so with the Warriors, they obviously lost Kevin Durant, and they acquired D'Angelo Russell in that sign and trade. They also gave away a first-round pick in that trade. They signed Willie Cauley-Stein, Glenn Robinson III, Amari Spellman, Alec Burks. They drafted Jordan Poole, and they lost Andre Iguodala, DeMarcus Cousins, Livingston, Bell, Jones, Cook, Trevion Graham, and Shabazz Napier.
Let's throw Klay Thompson into that list for at least half the year. Right? Like, he's out until at least
symbolic loss.
March?
Yeah, he's going to miss at least March, like after All-Star game for sure.
Yeah. 49 behind Steph, Draymond, and D'Angelo Russell. I mean,
this team has absolutely no depth. Like obviously they have good players that have experience, like Looney, and then McKinney obviously played a bigger part in the last couple of years. But their depth is what really stands out. Like, probably in the last 5 years, they've had consistently some of the best depth in the NBA, particularly before the Kevin Durant era began. I think this team, 49 wins. Is a lot just because they have a lot of new pieces, and obviously Clay's injured. If Clay was back, I could see them winning over 49. I think they're just going to go a smidge under.
Yeah, I have a slight under as well. And I'm really looking forward to full flamethrower Steph and Golden State actually running a lot of pick and rolls with him and him actually handing the ball a lot more often. Because he's going to average like 32, 33 points a game, and it's actually gonna be fun to watch, unlike watching Harden go for 35.
The Steph and D'Angelo Russell backcourt is gonna be so weird to watch.
Yes, hard on the eyes.
Yeah, it's just like, it's such a weird fit. I understand what they did, like, you want to get something back for KD, but god damn.
And the Warriors that we knew the last few years, like, their whole offensive system is gonna go out the door until Clay gets back anyway. They're not going to run a lot of motion. They ran like the least amount of pick and rolls the last couple of years out of anybody in the NBA, and now they're going to run probably be in the top five with D'Angelo and Steph.
You think so?
D'Angelo is a pure pick and roll
easy
player.
Baskets?
He's good off the ball in terms of like hitting spot up threes and such, but he's not a guy that really moves off the ball.
But who do you run it with? Looney or Draymond?
Either guy. Really? I mean, Looney's a good passer too. Like, Looney's a good all-around player, and they brought him back on a $5 million a year contract, so... That was one of the steals of the offseason.
Does Looney or Willie Cauley-Stein start?
Looney, for sure. Looney's a way
better. And obviously plays like more important minutes. Looney?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So who's Willie Cauley-Stein's not a defined player. Like, what does he do well?
Yeah, run. Jump? I don't know,
get
man.
Get face tattoos.
Yeah. So who's starting at the three for this team without Clay right now?
I would say McKinney, probably.
McKinney? Oh, true. McKinney was good for them last year.
Yeah, it's just now he's going to have to play extended minutes, and I'm not sure he's ready for that.
Hey, Raptors 905 champion, Alphonso McKinney, man. He can do it.
Yeah, Raptors farm system brings up the champs.
You know it. All right, so we all went a slight under, right? Yeah. All right. Moving on, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Lakers.
50 wins.
So they obviously added Anthony Davis in the offseason, the trade with the Pelicans. They signed and then lost DeMarcus Cousins to a horrible ACL injury. Danny Green signed in the offseason.
And an arrest warrant.
As well as Avery Bradley, Quinn Cook, Troy Daniels, Jared Dudley, and Kostas Antetokounmpo was claimed off waivers. An interesting move. Planning ahead for 2021, I guess. They lost Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Tyson Chandler, Moritz Wagner. Isaac Bonga, Jamario Jones, Mike Muscala, and Reggie Bullock. And they re-signed Rajon Rondo, KCP, JaVale McGee, and hero Alex Caruso.
Did you miss my joke about DeMarcus Cousins?
I did, yes.
Oh, I said they lost him to an arrest warrant.
That too. Has he actually been arrested yet? There's been no news about him the last couple of days.
It cannot be hard to find this guy. If he's in the country, he's got to be easy to find.
And the worst part is in Alabama, too, and they have a reputation down there.
What kind of reputation, Josh?
Yeah, can you elaborate, Josh?
And that's for another podcast, another day.
This is the wrong podcast, man. They also have a guy named Devontae Kakok? Kakok? Do you know this guy?
Kakok.
Kakok.
I think you're just making up names now.
Dude, I'm dead. Basketball reference, man. It's the best reference I have. Anyways, so we're looking at a LeBron and Anthony Davis-led team, obviously, with point guard Alex Caruso. It's not a bad team. I mean, they're big. Obviously, it's going to be reliant on the big two, but I'm still not sold on them that much. Especially since they lost DeMarcus and had to bring in Dwight Howard instead.
Yeah, this team's not... doesn't seem like the most functional roster, but they obviously have the top-end talent, and I think LeBron has a lot to prove in this season of the NBA. Obviously, last year was the first one he missed the playoffs in pretty much forever. But I think this team, overall, 50 wins, I think, was the projected total. 50, 51?
50.
Yeah, I think they will win closer to 52, 53 wins. And I think a lot of their losses will just come down to resting players on back-to-backs, maybe giving Anthony Davis the day off. I don't think they're going to be blowing teams out of the water, but I think they have enough top-end talent to beat almost everyone in the NBA, and especially with an angry LeBron.
I forgot to mention they also added Dwight Howard, too, on a non-guaranteed contract.
I think they're going to go slight under because LeBron's going to end up sitting games. Like, everyone's saying LeBron is going to be super healthy and he's going to come back all motivated. I think smart LeBron is going to click in and just chill a lot of games until the playoffs. And you don't want to push Anthony Davis either, considering he's always injured, right? Like, they got to load manage these guys really well.
Yeah, and they also have a limited amount of shooting, like functional shooting, where guys can actually play if they're not shooting the ball well. Like Danny Green is one of those guys where he can play defense off the ball and provide a few things.
Avery Bradley?
Dudley's not a guy that's going to play 15, 20 minutes a game and cook when he's
Avery
on the
Bradley.
He's too small
completely, completely ignored out here. I said Avery Bradley.
Oh, God.
This guy starts a rant about Dudley.
I thought you said Dudley, my bad. I mean, Bradley's been bad the last 3 years, so he's not even in this conversation, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. That was my point.
I think this team's going to be a better playoff team than they are a regular season team, to be honest.
Yeah, they have a lot of veterans. A lot of guys who will show up for big games. And also, Quinn Cook is going to be very, very valuable for them in the playoffs. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see Rondo playing with some of these lineups where you have limited shooting on the court. So Quinn Cook should be a big piece for them off the bench.
All right, so what are you doing here, Josh?
I'm going slight under, but playoff-wise, they're going to be very good.
Yep, I agree. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. Ooh, the best team in the league, the Denver Nuggets, Joshua.
You wish.
They're sitting at 52.5 wins.
So the Nuggets added Jeremy Grant in the trade with the Thunder for a first-round pick. They drafted Bol Bol with the number 44 pick in the draft. He just signed his rookie contract today. And they obviously lost Isaiah Thomas, Trey Lyles, and Tyler Lydon.
Meh. Good riddance, I guess. I don't know. They pretty much came back the same team, except adding Jeremy Grant and hopefully a healthy Michael Porter Jr., right?
Hypothetically.
Well, yeah, assuming that he's actually able to rehab his ankle injuries.
And if he's able to walk after his back injury.
Yeah, he was playing.
You know, saying this, and then the summer league, he didn't play because of a very minor injury.
Ankle injury, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would sit him.
I hope that he plays this year, because I think a lot of the Denver fans are getting tired of seeing Will Barton playing.
Oh, man, Will Barton hurts. I used to love watching him play. And
his game is so forced.
It's so rigid. Yeah. Like, there's nothing smooth about it. It's very, like, it's very robotic. But, I mean, it kind of works, I guess. I don't know. He's not bad for, like, $13 million a year. But this team, very reliant on, obviously, one of the MVP candidates last year, Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray obviously got a big payday this summer. This will be a full internal build, and I like it. I'm going over, so like I'm not a fair assessment at this point. Let's be real.
What was the total again?
52.5.
Yeah, I'm going over too.
Yeah, last year they had 54. You tell me this is gonna be a worse team than last year? Are you crazy? Come on, Westgate.
Yeah, I'm gonna say just over. I think 53 wins.
Yeah. The advantage that they had last year was that they caught a lot of teams off guard, right? Especially at the beginning of the year. Like, no one really thought that they would be that good. So they sort of just came out of nowhere. But now that teams are going to obviously are going to be aware of what they can do, prepare for Jokic and Jamal Murray properly, the assumption is that defenses will, like, clue in. But at the same time, I think these guys get a lot better. And adding Jeremy Grant is a huge piece off the bench.
Yeah. For athleticism and defense, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't really see how you can think that this team is going to be worse, because they are bringing in so much talent. And plus, you said in the early part of the year, they caught teams off guard, but they're also missing Gary Harris for like half the year. So you're basically bringing in Harris, and then you got Porter, and obviously you brought in Grant. So their defense should be better this year. And it started off as like a top five defense in the early part of the year and then tailed off later on. But you can play Grant at center, which, you know, is huge, obviously, if you're playing a small ball lineup in certain situations. And then I think he's going to be a good fit next to Jokic, too.
Yep. They also didn't have Paul Millsap for, like, 4 or 5 months last year. This will be a great team, man, I'm telling you.
Jokic is going to be a top three candidate this year for MVP.
Oh, like he was last year.
Yeah, I think he was, like, fourth last year. Fourth or fifth.
Mm-hmm. He might even win MVP next year.
Nah, I'm not going to go that far.
Hey, if Denver's the first seed in the Western Conference, which is very plausible, and they win near 60 games, why not?
I don't think they win 60. I think it's going to be like 5 or 6 teams with like 56 to 50 wins, I think.
Okay, you're insane. Now it's 56? You went from 50 to 56? What?
No, I'm saying, like, there's not going to be any team with over 56 wins in the West, I think. Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, that's hard.
And I think there's going to be 5 or 6 teams between 50 and 56.
All right. Well, another one of those teams could be the LA Clippers.
So we're all going over on that one, right?
Yeah, we all went over, no doubt. The Clippers are sitting at 54.5 wins right now.
So the Clippers obviously added Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in a trade with the Thunder, and they traded for Maurice Harkless, one of the most under-the-radar pickups in the offseason. And they drafted, Mafiondu Cabangele at the number 27 pick.
Very nice.
I hope I pronounced that properly. And they lost Danilo Gallinari, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Garrett Temple, Guy Wilson-Chandler, Tyrone Wallace and Sindarius Thornwell, and they re-signed a lot of players, actually. Patrick Beverley, DeMichael Green, Ivica Zubac, Rodney Magruder and Jonathan Motley.
I have a quick question. Should I keep riding with Wilson Chandler after his 25-game suspension?
You got to ride with him till he retires, man. He's your Denver days.
Did the news come out as to when he took these PEDs? PEDs, sorry.
No. He said that he took them while he was like rehabbing or some shit.
Which was last year, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, some point last year.
So he took PEDs last year, and then he was still terrible.
He was still washed. Clearly, they did not kick in. It's like, remember that year that Hedo Turkoglu got caught for using PEDs?
Yeah, and Sharp,
he was
too.
Drinking tea. He said it was like something in a tea that his grandmother made for him or some shit like that. Like, come on, man.
A Turkish delicacy.
Yes, yes. Thanks a lot, Hedo.
Rashard Lewis had some of that tea the same year, too.
Well, they're teammates.
Yeah, he invited him over to his house, I guess, or his grandma's house.
Yeah, obviously. Come on, man. That's how you have to roll with teammates. All right, this LA team got a lot better. Title contender, obviously. Got the... What do we call him, Kawhi? Second best player in the league right now?
Yeah, I mean, I still think LeBron's the best player in the NBA. Kawhi is a very, very close second, though, and he obviously could become the best player if they obviously win the championship again this year.
Yeah. So this team got possibly the best defensive starting lineup in the league. Right? Aside from maybe Utah?
Yeah, it's definitely up there, and like they were very good last year on defense, and their effort was probably what guided them to the playoffs, and on paper, they're a better team. Now it all comes down to like load management when you're literally looking at their win total. 54.5. I think that is roughly where they're probably going to end up. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually went a bit under. Just because I feel with Paul George's two surgeries, they're going to maybe take it easy with him. And also with Kawhi, and most of their damage is going to be done in the playoffs. So as long as they get one of the top four seeds, I don't really think they're going to care too much. So to speed things up, I'm just going to say the Clippers are going to get just the shade under 54.5, like 53. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up with the same record as the Nuggets.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets are going to be better in the regular season. And I also will take the under with this team just because of the load management and Paul George's status up in the air right now, since we haven't heard anything in the last 2 months as to whether he's going to be ready at the start of the year. And then obviously if Kawhi only plays 60 games in the Western Conference and playing more games against the West, I think that this team will lose a few more games anyway. And the biggest question for them obviously is, can they rely on Ivica Zubac as their starting center going forward, or are they going to make a move later on in the year and try to bring in a veteran player at center?
You know what's funny? When we did our Tears podcast a few weeks ago, I said they were going to be top three. But you guys have convinced me out of it. I think I got to go under as well. This load management is going to be a real issue for this team. Also, they have Patrick Patterson. So I'm like really out on this team.
The curse.
Man, Patrick Patterson. Name me another player who made a reputation off shooting when he can't actually shoot.
Yeah, in the year that he actually like supposedly shot well, he shot like league average. I think he was like 36% from the field, from 3-point line. I mean,
was that with the Raptors?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, or he was at 38% on a very low amount of attempts.
The best year he had was actually in OKC, 2 years ago, at 38.6.
And he took like 23s the entire year.
Oh, you know why? When he got to the Raptors that year from Sacramento, so those like 48 games with Toronto, he shot 41% from three. That's why people thought he was a good shooter. And then he regressed.
On one attempt a game?
No, he was averaging 2.3 attempts.
Jesus. That's nothing.
He hit one out of 2.3.
1-3.
So now he's... He's average. He's a 36.7% shooter from three.
Yeah,
it's not bad, but it's not great. I mean, just because of that, though, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, this team obviously has a lot of depth, even despite if they have injuries with Kawhi and Paul George. Their team last year is basically coming back In terms of the roster, but...
Well, no, they have a lot of pieces that are different,
though. Without your boy Shea. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and without Gallinari, like, they were an all-hustle team, and obviously they have, like, half their roster coming back, but another half they had to let go just to create enough cap space.
True, but at the same time, as long as one of those guys is in the lineup, then you still have these guys off the bench, like Lou Williams and Montrez, that can carry you to regular season wins. And Landry Shamet, he's going to be good. Being able to play around two superstar players and getting all the open shots that he wants, the new J.J. Redick. So, yeah, this team is going to be really good, obviously. And then in the postseason, they're going to be a whole other animal, obviously, being able to play these players 35 minutes a game. But regular season-wise, they're going to beat the good teams when they actually play these players. They're going to show how dominant they can be. And then against the lower-level teams where they just play one of the stars or none of the stars, they're going to lose a bunch of games. So, under.
Yeah, it's going to be the mediocre teams that they lose to, like the San Antonios kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Oh, well, actually, the last three teams that we're doing, including the Clippers, are all sitting at 54.5. So do you guys want to do the Rockets or the Jazz first? Let's do the Rockets. Let's end with the Jazz. So Josh, take it away with the Rockets, 54.5.
So the Rockets, once again, got pretty busy. So they obviously traded for Russell Westbrook, and beyond that, they signed a bunch of retreads. Ben McLemore, Deontay Davis, and Anthony Bennett. Anthony Bennett is actually back in the NBA.
Woo!
Jeez.
Talk to him.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho!
And they signed Tyson Chandler, and also Nene is expected to sign with them at some point this week. And they obviously lost Chris Paul, and they re-signed Austin Rivers for the minimum. Daniel House and Gerald Green also came back on a one-year deal, I believe.
Yeah, why don't you like Anthony Bennett? Canadian brother.
Canadian failure.
Brothers can be failures.
I mean, supposedly on, he shot really well in like the G League, and I think he also went to Europe last year, if I'm not mistaken. And he shot really well from the three-point line, and he's going to be in a spot where he's going to get a ton of open threes, so... Anthony Bennett is going to be in a very, very solid situation for him in that he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be, you know, being able to all-you-can-eat.
Oh, wow. You mean he's not going to play?
I think he's going to play for this team.
I don't
if you look
it.
At their roster, like, if he's able to shoot the three pretty well, they need guys that can shoot the ball in the front court. So I think he will play some minutes in the regular season at least.
I have my doubts.
Their front court is pretty bleak. Yeah. Aside from, well, Capella and Nene, obviously. But other than that, they just have PJ Tucker at the four. Right? I would play Anthony Bennett over Isaiah Hartenstein.
I think he blew out his knee, too. So I don't think he's going to be playing this year.
Well, I would definitely put Anthony Bennett ahead of him then.
Like, besides the guys that you mentioned, I mean, Gary Clark is the only guy that might play backup four a little bit. And he didn't play the second half of the year. So I think Bennett's in a position where he could actually earn a lot of minutes this year.
Well, they also have Tyson Chandler.
He's not going to play much.
No, he's a
wash. He'll play more than Bennett, though.
Will he?
Yeah, he probably will, but he shouldn't. Actually, I don't know, because if they're going to run three big centers who all basically play the same way, between Capella, Chandler, and Nene, like, what's happening here? Why sign Chandler?
And plus, you don't want to play PJ Tucker too much at the center in the regular season, otherwise he's going to wear out.
Yeah, they got to keep
him. Well, he's going to play the four. Yeah, like their starting lineup's going to be Harden, Westbrook, and then they're probably going to end up playing Daniel House Jr. at the three. It's probably
or
what's going to end up happening. or Gerald Green, take your pick, and then PJ Tucker and Clint Capella.
No, I mean, okay, Eric Gordon's going to be the starting. Well, two or three, whatever you want to call them, right? And then the bench.
Oh, really? You think Eric Gordon's good?
Yeah, it'll be Westbrook, Gordon, and then Harden.
Yeah.
And then Capella, Tucker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think I like obviously diverted from the real question here. How the hell are Westbrook, Harden, and Eric Gordon going to fit together?
Why did you put Eric Gordon in there?
I don't know, because we were just talking about him. I just want to show him some love, man. He's a good player.
Also, doesn't it seem ridiculous that he got 4 years at 30 years old? I mean, I get the extension, but I don't know. Like,
I'm sorry. Is Chris Paul making 40 plus at the time he's 38?
That's different.
Fuck out of here. FOH, man.
That's different.
Get out of here. So, okay, fine. How will Russell Westbrook and James Harden get along? Are you happy?
I mean, I predicted that Houston was going to have the top seed in the Western Conference in the last podcast, so I might as well stick to it because, you know, you have these two ball dominant guards who, as long as they stay healthy, I think they'll win a lot of games, especially against the bad teams in the NBA. And then come playoff time, it's a whole other story, but we're not talking about that. So depth-wise, they're not great, but just having these two guys that can just control the offense and split time, it's much like Chris Paul and James Harden did in the past. It's just a matter of fit now. And if they don't fit, they can just, you know, spend more time where one of the guys is just off the court more often so they can rest these guys. But that's never been the D'Antoni way, so I don't know. I don't know if that's going to change.
So sheer star power is what you're saying.
Essentially, yeah. But they have to find a way to rest these guys throughout the course of the regular season, since neither of those two guys has MVP aspirations next year, I don't think. So they might as well be, you know, rest them come March and April, which neither of those guys have done the last, well, pretty much ever.
Okay. Who do you think gets more triple doubles this year?
Westbrook, for sure. But I think my biggest question with relation to that question is, will Clint Capella allow Russell Westbrook to get those free throw rebounds like Steven Adams did? I don't think he will.
Oh, yes.
I think he will because he's got butterfingers. So I think Russell Westbrook is literally going to take it out of his hands as he comes down. You know that move when someone's coming down with the rebound and you just like poke it out from under them? He's going to do a lot of that.
His own teammate's going to do it.
Wouldn't that be incredible to see just once? Just for that like 10th rebound in like the 80th game.
Westbrook's done it. I mean, Andre Blatch tried to do it that one game too.
Exactly. But not stealing, not like deliberately stealing it out of your own teammates' hands.
You know, I don't want to wish injury upon anybody, but I really hope that PJ Tucker sits a bunch of games this year just so we can see Anthony Bennett play a bunch of minutes.
And have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah! And this guy's trying to go the whole Team Canada route, eh?
Absolutely.
Aside from Andrew Wiggins, yeah.
I mean, we've got the guy back in the NBA. Might as well play some minutes, right? Let's see the guy on the court.
Give him a chance.
Absolutely.
Just like they gave Bruno a chance a few years ago.
Yeah, look at Bruno now. He's a defined NBA player.
True. So, Josh, you're going over on this team?
Yes.
Raj?
I'm going to say just over 54.5. I think they win, like, they're a stat whore team. I think they're going to get 56. They'll probably be the cream of the crop of the West.
Wow. Yeah, I don't like them, but I have to agree. It's a pretty annoying team to watch, in all honesty. So let's move on to the very last team. I think this is the new internet darling of the year. We're looking at the Utah Jazz, also at 54.5 wins.
I am also part of the internet, and I'm very excited for this team, I must say. So, getting into the transaction side of things for the Utah Jazz, they obviously added Mike Conley via trade with the Grizzlies, Bojan Bogdanovic, Ed Davis, Jeff Green, Emmanuel Mudiay, a gentleman named William Howard, and Stanton Kidd.
Okay.
Made up names. And they drafted Mai Oni with the number 58 pick. As I mentioned before, I'm going to say the really cool names, so there you go.
Yes, thank you.
And they lost Derek Favors, Kyle Korver, Ricky Rubio, and Raul Neto.
Who's the biggest loss on this team?
Favors.
Crowder? Favors? Favors, you think so?
Yeah, I'd have to say Favors or Crowder, like, just to have that depth. Like, you can argue that Bogdanovic is going to take over Crowder's production, but I think he just offered a good, like, flexibility on the defensive end, and he provided spacing on the court.
Yeah, yeah, Favors is big in a bunch of playoff games, too. Like, you need size in the playoffs, and he's a quality big guy.
So how does this team perform this year? Interesting little tidbit. So Mike Conley needs to play at least 55 games this year to guarantee his contract for 2019-2020. Nice little nugget to know about, because that'll probably add to the win totals if Mike Conley's playing some more, you know what I mean?
I think they're going to rest him a lot this year, though. I mean, they have pretty good point guard depth as long as Dante Exum doesn't, you know, have another catastrophic injury that derails his entire season. Having him and Moutier in the backcourt is pretty quality depth, if you ask me.
Yeah, for a younger backcourt, yes, I agree.
And then obviously, if you look at their offense, that's the one thing that was holding them back the last few years. And now they have, well, they added two guys that can actually run a functional pick and roll besides Donovan Mitchell, and two guys that can easily play off the ball with, you know, Boyan and Mike Conley. So I think their offense is going to go from being I think they were like bottom 10 or bottom 15 in the NBA. They might actually be a top 10 offense this year. And then defensively, they're still going to be a top 5 defense, maybe 7 at worst.
Easily.
Yeah, I think they're like I think on paper their team looks deep. I think I still have that big question mark about power forward position. Like, I think having like that depth with Derek Favors on that lineup, I know that you obviously have one of the best rim protectors in the game in Rudy Gobert, but I think just having depth at that power forward position is something that this team may look to address come the trade deadline to make them a complete team from like 1 to 5. Because I don't think Bojan Bogdanovic's best position is at the 4. I think he's probably better off at the 3. I think it's going to be a good season for them. I think they're going to be very good defensively, but I still think they have a lot of new pieces, so they're going to be a bit slow out of the gate, but come playoff time, this team is going to be dangerous. It's kind of like the Clippers. Like, they might not be as good on paper in the regular season.
Yeah, that's such a Raj stance to have, that you downgraded at the 4, so I don't know how good your team is going to be.
Well, no, it's not you downgraded at the 4, but I feel like they're a little more backcourt heavy now in their offensive production, and I think their biggest weakness is at the 4. And they don't really have a natural power forward. Like, if you're playing Bojan Bogdanovic at the 4, I don't think that's his best position.
I disagree. I think that Bojan can play either the 3 or the 4. I think he showed that in the playoffs against the Cavs a little while back when he played against LeBron, when LeBron was playing at the 4. And there's not a lot of power forwards that are going to be able to push him around. He's a pretty big boy. He's 6'8", and he's got some bulk to him. And again, he's got Rudy behind him, so I don't really see that being an issue. And then obviously, on offense, he's just going to be standing behind the three-point line most of the time, or, you know, with their motion offense, he'll be running cuts off the ball. And this team just fits together really well. Like, they remind me of the Raptors of last year. Not in that they don't have a Kawhi-level player, obviously, but just being able to play any type of way. Like, they can play small, they can play big. And if Mitchell takes another step up, this team could win 60 games this year and then be maybe the biggest threat to the Clippers this year.
Yeah, I think they do hit 60. How about that? I think they're the one team who can actually hit 60 this year.
I mean, you got Joe Ingles coming off the bench. That's pretty good, man.
Joe Ingles is pretty old.
He's old, but his game is not going to change. He can still play the same way at 42 as he's playing right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're pounding the over, right?
Yeah, I'm taking over. This team is nice, man. The pieces fit so well.
I'm gonna take the under. I think they're going to get like 53 wins.
Wow.
So it's 55.5 or 54.5?
54.
Like, I think they're going to be good, and I think they're going to be like the Clippers. Like, if they really needed to win more games, they could have won more, but it's going to take time for them to get together. I think they're going to be, like, at the Nuggets level. Like, I really don't see much of a gap between the Clippers, the Jazz, the Nuggets, and the Lakers. Like, I think those teams, there'll be, like, 2 games separating those 4 teams.
I think the Jazz usually have the same schedule too every year, where they start off playing like the really good teams a lot of times throughout the first 2 or 3 months, and then the rest of the year they always go like some ridiculous streak where they're like 32-9 the rest of the year. I think the same thing as this year as well. I think they had the second toughest schedule in the first 2 or 3 months, and then the rest of the year is like a cakewalk for them. So that's why I think they might go slightly over, and I still think they're going to be like the 2 or 3 seed. I'm going to go slight over.
Yeah. They also have altitude to their advantage. Always helps, man.
Home court.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's obviously the Blazers, the Jazz, and the Nuggets benefit the most from, and the Spurs benefit the most from being a dominant home team.
And their fans. Utah has the most loyal fans in the league.
Good evening and welcome to the first and maybe only racial draft here in New York City.
And the most racist.
Loyal is an interesting word.
I don't know if they're the most racist, but they're definitely up there. I could think of other cities that are like that.
Who's more racist than the Jazz fans?
I'm going to go with Milwaukee.
But in terms of incidents.
Oh, incidents, fine. But I just mean that, as a culture, there are some teams that are pretty bad.
Yeah, but you're talking about, basketball culture in the stadium, right?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Fine. Utah has had a history.
Yes.
But they're just loyal. That's just how much they love their team.
Loyal, huh?
Yeah, that's the word I'm going to go with.
Loyal.
All right, so we've done it. This will be interesting to look at. I want to look back at it just before the All-Star break or around the All-Star break to see how we're all faring. Because I've documented it all this time.
There's some nice, now that I looked at this, I'm going to have to do a bit more research before I place some preseason bets because there's some lines that I really like.
Like that Grizzlies one?
Yeah, I like the Grizzlies.
Ooh. Don't touch that one. No, the Grizzlies are going over.
Okay, the Suns?
Yeah, I like the Suns, but the one I like the most is the Mavericks, actually. I don't see them winning 41 games.
Crazy. Wow.
Yeah, sorry, cannot agree there. But the Suns line I like a lot. Pound that shit. All right. Anything else? Any last notes?
I just want to point out that the Raptors won the championship last year.
Oh, did they?
I know everyone's forgot, but I just have to remind everyone.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I know. It's quite shocking.
Did they keep the same team?
No, there's been some changes.
They tried.
Oh.
They tried.
Is Danny Green still there?
He's still in Toronto, yeah.
For reason. Is Jeremy Lin?
He's in Shanghai.
Oh. How about Kawhi? Is Kawhi still there? I know he released a bunch of gear last year with New Balance.
Who?
Kawhi Leonard? I think that's his name.
Never heard of him.
Huh.
Named after the Coactus.
Coactus. well done. Well done. All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can hit us up on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.